Imagine a moment where everything changes, a spiritual transfer from the enemy's kingdom to God's kingdom, fueled by the life-changing truth of Jesus' death and resurrection. Are you ready for your transfer? Or maybe you're going to help someone else experience the Jesus transfer today. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington, fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. If you are enjoying these daily devotions, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, and place within your Washington Defender app in the huddle, because we are trying to change hearts so that we can change the public square. I know one of the key elements of what we try to do here is to say, let the Word of God set deep inside of us so that we have a culture, a society, a people who honor and glorify God. So we're going to start a new series called The Gospel Series from Romans chapter 1, and it's going to be 15, 16, and 17. So it says, "So for my part," this is Paul speaking, "I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." So he starts out, he says, I'm eager to preach to you the gospel message. So think about this for a moment. What is the gospel message? Well, Paul defines it very clearly in 1 Corinthians 15. He says in verse 1, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." See what he says in verse 1? "I make known to you, brethren, the gospel." It's the gospel I preached. So what is this gospel? "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also." So Paul is eager to preach the gospel message, and that is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins according to the scriptures, that Jesus was buried, that Jesus raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that Jesus appeared. So let's talk about being eager. What does that mean to be eager, eager, eager? Think about this. It's your mind. It's your temperament. It's a passion. You're predisposed or ready or willing or prompt, and it's referring to the spirit there that is ready on my part. So we're looking at this and we're saying, are you ready today as you go to your workplace, as you go into that place where you may be in the market or where you find yourself around people who don't know Jesus? Are you eager? Are you ready in mind, temperament, and passion to share the love of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for their sins, that he was buried, that he rose again, that he appeared? Do you have a readiness in your spirit to say, "Lord, if you're willing for me to share today, I want to share. I want to be eager as we go." So one of the things you may think about is, are we truly sinners? He said he died on the cross for our sins. And Romans chapter 3 is very clear that we are sinners. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under the sin. As it is written, "There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one." Look at this. We are all sinners. There's not even one who is self-righteous or has the ability to, on their own righteousness, to enter the kingdom of God. "Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the paths of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for the law comes the knowledge of sin." So we see in this Roman scripture here that Paul is writing to us, and we're going to encounter several people like this. In fact, if you haven't come to the conclusion that you are a sinner saved by grace, then you need to come to that place where you need to have a fear of God. You need to repent of your sin and turn to God and allow Him to cleanse you from the inside out. So this gospel message is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that He resurrected from the dead according to the scriptures. And that is so important. The Old Testament points us to this gospel message, and we need to be eager to share it. So what do? We now know that Jesus did all this work. We now know that we're sinners. Now what do? Now when they had heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said, "Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself." So he gives us two things. He says, "I want you to repent, and I want you to be baptized." This is incredibly important. This is what we do. We understand that Jesus Christ is the Savior. We understand that we are sinners. And so what's the outcome? We repent and we are baptized. Now, what does repentance mean? Is that saying, "I'm sorry, Lord," or whatever? No, it's having a change of mind that then changes our direction. We once were headed towards sin. We change our mind. We say, "No, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we're now headed towards the Father." So what happens after we repent? Colossians 1:13 says, "For He rescued us from the dominion of darkness," or the domain of darkness, "and He has transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have the redemption, the forgiveness of sins." There's an actual transfer from one kingdom to the next that happens when we repent. You are transferred from darkness into light. You are transferred from the spirit of Antichrist into the spirit of Christ. You are transferred from this kingdom of the enemy to this kingdom of the Son. And this all happens. And so this is why it is important. Jesus is our Savior. We are all sinners. Repent and be baptized. And there's the transfer that begins to happen, or that happens by grace through faith. And it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come." So as you walk into that workplace today, you are brand new, and you're going to encounter people who need that transfer, that we're eager to say, "You know what? There's two kingdoms. There's the enemy's kingdom, and there's God's kingdom. Come on, let's be a part of God's kingdom. Let's do it through Jesus Christ, by faith through grace." Today is the day of salvation, and you may just have that opportunity to share that with someone else. So the question is, are you eager to preach the gospel message today? Are you eager to preach Jesus's death? In other words, we're sinners and we need a payment for our sin, that He was buried, or the burial of Jesus. That is important because He shows evidence that He's dead. Are you eager to preach the resurrection, or the new creation that comes inside of us through faith and by grace? It is that resurrection spirit that transfers us from that old kingdom to that new kingdom. And God wants to do this in your hearts and in your minds today. Are you eager to preach that God gave evidence of the resurrection of Jesus? Today is the day of salvation. Have an eagerness for the gospel message as you go throughout your day. There may be that coworker that you need to share Jesus with today. Share it with him. There may be that supermarket lady that keeps checking out your groceries. You need to share Jesus with her. Take the time. Be a person of the gospel message and be steadfast in what God has called you to do. Let's close in prayer and just believe that God's going to do some amazing things today as you share the gospel message. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for what you want to do today. God, I thank you for your gospel message of Jesus's death, burial, resurrection, and appearance. Give us an eagerness to see people transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. God, we thank you for all that you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as I was praying, I was thinking, it's important to realize that when we're operating in the public square, if someone is in the kingdom of darkness, they may be there in ignorance to some degree. They may be there as a byproduct of their life and their sinfulness, right? They're in that kingdom of darkness. I want to encourage you that be careful of your judgments of them, and make sure that you start with the gospel before you try to fix their political views or try to fix their policy or try to fix any of these other things. They need hope in Jesus Christ first and foremost, and then all those other things God can begin to take care of and iron out. So I don't know. I just started thinking about that when I was praying. Hopefully that's helpful today. I hope you have a great day. And like we like to say around here, go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.